This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with James Scully. This is your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in, talk about whatever you'd like in the world of thoroughbred racing, and there is a lot to talk about. Number to get in, 888-966-4776, 888-966-HRRN. James, glad to be back on with you, my friend. We are fresh on the tails of Kentucky Derby 150, and what a fantastic race it was.
Absolutely. It was really exciting finish, Bobby. I thought it was a great, thrilling race. There were some trouble trips, but there were definitely lots of drama late, the closest finish in the 150-year history. And I thought Torpedo Anna looked good winning the Oaks on Friday, and there were several like top class performances by runners like Idiomatic and Cogburn and others that it was a really exciting weekend.
Yeah, and I mentioned it in the previous show. This has to be when riders dream of situations, what they dream of. You know, when I was a kid, I played Little League, and, you know, I, of course, wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. That ended very early in my – and my, those thoughts went away pretty early. But, you know, we dream of being at bat with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth, the seventh game of the World Series, down by three, and you hit the ball over the fence. That's basically – what happened with Brian Hernandez and the ride that he gave Mystic Dan in this year's Kentucky Derby. You can say all you want. Mystic Dan ran great. Kenny McPeak and his team obviously did a fantastic job. Brian Hernandez won the Kentucky Derby, a flawless performance. He needed every bit of that ground-saving trip and maybe a little help from Sierra Leone and Forever Young down the stretch to win the Kentucky Derby by a nose.
Yes, I agree. I mean, it's remarkable. If he had, if he had not drawn post three, but had drawn like post 15, that might have doomed his chances, because Brian Hernandez did a great job saving ground. He sat right behind the leaders and he squeezed through a small opening. I mean, really squeezed through it. And he had a burst of horse, you know, in upper stretch. You know, he spurted clear, and they just couldn't get to him. But to me, it was a wonderful performance. He took Torpedo Anna right to the lead in the Kentucky Oaks, and they went fast early and just kept on going. He had the right horse and right ride in that race. And as far as Kenny McPeak goes, I don't think he was going to get into the Hall of Fame before this weekend. But with Mystic Dan, he has now completed the personal Triple Crown milestone. He had Swiss Skydiver in 2020 and Sarava in 2002. And he became the first trainer since Ben Jones in 1952 to sweep the Oaks and Derby. So just a huge weekend for Kenny McPeak and Brian Hernandez and both Mystic Dan and Torpedo Anna.
All right, and certainly we hope to hear from Charles in Mississippi sometime today. I know he has been a Torpedo Anna and Mystic Dan advocate for months now, yes. And I can only hope that, as usual, he backed up his words with his money, and he always does. I hope it was a fantastic couple of days.
I'm 100% confident that Charles did that, Bobby. I mean, he said he was betting them, and he did, I'm sure.
I envision Charles in a bathtub of cash right now. That's what I see. I mean, not that I want to envision Charles in a bathtub, but that's what I'm thinking right now.
Nailed it.
Hopefully he calls in. We'd love to speak with him. Speaking of calls, we're going to head out to the phones now. Vince in Buffalo, welcome to the BrisNet.com call-in show, my friend.
How you doing? I'll save Charles for last. You hit the nail on the head with Brian Hernandez, a very underrated rider. And when we get to riders, you know, Chad Brown has Irad Ortiz at his disposal. I totally believe that if Gathleon and Irad would have switched positions, Irad would have won the race. There was a little movements that he could have made during. I watched this over and over and over. But let's get to the finish itself. There was Gathleon hit that rider with his arm and the whip right before the finish line. No inquiry. Those are not discretionary calls. That's automatic. I bet Sierra Leone. This is not sour grapes on my part. But he should have been DQ'd from second to third. And Churchill Downs did not have the nerve because of the maximum security incident to that. That's not if he did. He did it. His arm and the whip went right in the Japanese guy's lap. I don't know if you guys saw the head-on, but Migliori did it on the New York broadcast, frame by frame. And he did it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He did it. And Charles from Mississippi, when you're handicapping Chad Brown horses and guaranteeing everybody that the 15 or Chad's other horse would beat Sierra Leone, Charles, you're handicapping up Chad Brown. Could be put in a thimble, and you'd have room for the Gettysburg Address. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, appreciate the call, Vince. Thanks so much. Listen, James, this has been talked about a lot, and unfortunately it's happened now twice in the last 6 years in the biggest race. My thing, Vince, is that whether you think Sierra Leone deserved to be disqualified or not, you obviously do. I think he should have been as well. I think the bigger problem, James, here is that why is the inquiry sign not put on the board? The entire world watching this race saw something happen in the stretch between Sierra Leone and Forever Young. And then when you see the head-on shots, it's worse. And the three people who are their main job is to make sure that nothing wrong happens in a race, don't put the inquiry sign up. Whether they're taking the horse down or not, they have to show us that they saw something too and they're looking at it, and then they're going to make a decision. They didn't hang the inquiry sign up when maximum security obliterated half of the field going into the turn in 2019. There was a rider's claim of foul, and eventually there was an inquiry and taken down. This year, you know, no objection. That's fine. I understand. You know, it's not normal in Japanese culture for them to claim foul on other horses, and it's possible that the rider at Forever Young didn't know the procedure on how to do it here. He shouldn't have to. The inquiry sign has to go up from these stewards to let those of us who are watching and wagering know that, hey, they saw what we all saw.
Well, it's easy to appreciate Vince and your passion about the situation. Let me just say, I think you're exaggerating the maximum security. I mean, you can't even see it on the regular view. You had to, like, it was the stewards thing, and it was just Warville who saw the only horse, you know.
Yeah, but when you watch that race,
I didn't see it. You saw 100% didn't see it.
You saw 7 horses all snatch up and take up, and something happened. You didn't know who caused it. But something happened going into the turn that they have to at least show us that they're looking at it.
Brian Hernandez and Kenny McPeak said Mystic Dan had had a trouble trip in the Arkansas Derby. And I've watched that race 10 times, and I've gone back and studied it, and you just can't see it. You don't have the camera angle. It's when Liberal Arts checks out on the first turn. They said he got nailed sideways. I can't see it, but I believe it happened. And I'm just saying that as far as Forever Young, I mean, to me, he didn't run straight either. Now, I did not see Tyler Gaffalione hit anybody. He has his arm out there almost like he's trying to push off. First off, Sierra Leone is a extremely immature and green colt. He has been in all four of his starts. And to me, you can maybe overcome that pretty darn well if you're a speed horse that just gets out on the front end. It doesn't matter if you drift in and out, whatever. You're in front of everybody, and maybe a little bit better as a stalker. But if you're a one-run closer, you need racing experience sometimes just to get over that. So I don't think there was anything Tyler Gaffione or any jock. That horse was tired. He had to go extremely wide. Mystic Dan had the dream trip on the inside. And when it got to like the point, you know, at the 3/16th pole or whatever, he was dead at, he was just leaning in. And Forever Young, before they make contact, drifts out. And to me, he had an opportunity to surge between them and just win the race. But he was out of horse too, in a sense, because he got off to an absolutely horrible start. Both Japanese horses missed the break. If they had broken better, they both could have run better, because Teo Password and Forever Young are behind Sierra Leone early on the back stretch, way further back than they wanted to be. And they both made good. I mean, Forever Young ran huge. I thought there were three big moves. Resilience moved first, then Forever Young, and then Sierra Leone. And Resilience sort of ran out of gas, but those other two were in it to win it, and they just, you know, they got to bump in, and it obviously, you know, it wasn't positive for either one of them. But I also think, you know, as far as the stewards go, you know, your guess is as good as mine what goes through these stewards' minds. I mean, I could, you know, we could do like show after show after show, regardless if it's Kentucky or New York or any state, as far as that goes. The jock on Forever Young needs to claim foul, and if he doesn't know the rules before the race or whatever the situation was, that's up to him.
All right. I see. I happen to think, it sounds like Vince thinks too, that there has to be an inquiry put up. Vince is convinced that there should have been a disqualification. I think there probably should have been. I'm just saying they have to put the inquiry sign up. They have to let us know that they're looking at something, whether they decide to do it or not, because the entire world saw that something happened in the stretch, whether it was DQable or not.
But here's the thing. I saw the bumping between them, but I did not see the head-on version, and I understand your case that the stewards did. But I did not see.
But they're separated. They're separated by. They're separated by 3 inches. They're separated by 3 inches at the wire. If you saw anything, you know, you have to at least tell us. All right, we saw something. We're going to look at it. It might be nothing. It might be something. But we saw something, and we're going to look at it. And that's the way I see it. And I understand. You know, if you disagree with me on that, it will not be the first
time. I've seen the head-on angles. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I saw those angles and those photos after the race was official.
Okay.
So
there's going to be more. There's going to be more
still frame than watching it live action, but we'll just, regardless, go on.
Let's go to Tom in St. Louis. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I just thought, since they took so long after they announced that Hernandez had won, that they were just looking at it and maybe decided, hey, we weren't putting the inquiry sign up. But it just seemed to me there was 4 or 5 minutes they looked at this before they made the race official. But I don't know. That's just my 2 cents. I guess things I do know and my takeaways, and I've got 6 or 7 of them. I'll rapid fire them. First of all, congratulations to my guy Charles in Mississippi. He not only had the Oaks Early Derby double, he called the shot. He was like Babe Ruth. He pointed to the bleachers. He told everybody to get on his back and he'd carry him home. And I didn't do it. So great job. Hey, James, I just want to tell you, I thought you did a great job on the inner track all weekend on the feed. Watching you on there, it was truly a joy. Caitlin Free, a phenomenal talent. The first time I'd really seen her at any great length. I admit I didn't play Turfway very much this winter, but you know, you two, you know, really, really helped through that whole weekend.
Thanks,
guys. I'll eat the plate, get out the knife, get out the fork. Fierceness, I admitted, was all in on him and thought he was in a good position 3 furlongs out and just did not perform. No real excuses. On a personal note, thank goodness for the Asmussen horse in the 14th. Just to help me make up what I lost for in the Derby. Still had a very enjoyable day. I hit that pick 3 in the races 2 through 4. That horse in the second that ran in that double dog there was just almost like a free spot. And Mind Frame in the third was a free spot. I mean, just great, great kicks on the card. I did have the Grand Motion horse at 43-1. not because of any great handicapping. I'm just a fan of his, and anytime he runs on the turf, I always throw a few bucks on him just because it is. I had the exact in the Derby City Distaff and the exact in the Turf Classic, but I had placed all my Oaks Turf Derby triples and Oaks and Derby all single to Fierceness. I had the first two legs. But I did, guys, make something I've never done before, made a Let It Ride style bet with all of my vouchers that I'd won on the day in the 14th race and put it all on that horse at 5-2. Thank goodness they bet the Cox horse at 1, and it turned out to be a good day. Charlie Appleby had kind of a real rough Saturday. That was surprising. I was very impressed with the Japanese horses. After watching what the stablemate did in the Alley Shiba, I threw a show bet on T.O. Password in the Derby just as a hedge, just because I thought what that horse did and First Mission really had to dive in to beat that horse. But, guys, my major takeaway of the weekend is this. These horses spent way too much time in the gate during loading. Instead of loading in two groups of 10, they ought to really consider loading four groups of 5 and getting these horses into the gate and out of the gate. It just seems like these horses, on a hot day when a lot of them were starting to wash out, show signs of frothing and kidney sweat. Epic Ride had, you know, that frothing on the saddle towel. Some of them had frothing and the kidney sweat during the post parade. Let's try and get 10 more gate crew people for this. Just make sure they're not from Fairmont Park. And let's get them up here and, you know, get these horses loaded quicker. Takeaway for the weekend. Starting to think the gate Kentucky Derby's like the Masters. It's difficult for a first-time jockey to win, just like it's difficult for a golfer. And, guys, my final take for a sport, I just think it's in terrible poor taste that the Stronach Group chooses Derby Week to have the Preakness Future wager. You know, that erode possibly from Derby handle, Derby attention. They could have done that the two weekends before that. Guys, I know I dumped a lot on you, but just kind of my thoughts.
I appreciate the call as always, Tom. Thanks so much. I like most of it, except I don't think that James was really that good on TV this weekend. Everything else is pretty good. Listen, as far as the gate loading thing, listen, two horses that had almost the longest waits of everyone in the gate end up running 1-2 in the race finishing 1-2 in the race. So I don't know if they're going to ever change that. I don't think that the Preakness Future wager really affected anything. They had a monster. I think they had like a record setting or, you know, one of the biggest handles they've ever had on Derby Day at Churchill Downs. So I don't really think that takes much away. And it really didn't get a whole lot of publicity anyway, Tom. But it was a great weekend. And like you, I did very well on the finale on Derby Day. It was actually the race that I liked the most all day and that I bet the most on. And like you, I like Steve Asmussen's horse. So it worked out very well for both of us. All right, we're going to take a break. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We will get you right after the break, but we're up against it now. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 Spring Meet at Churchill Downs kicks off April 27th with a slate of exciting race day events leading up to the 150th Kentucky Derby. Following the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs Spring Meet continues with live racing throughout May and June, including the Grade 1 Stephen Foster on June 29th. With 50 stakes races worth over $25 million and purses powered by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, you will not want to miss the Spring Meet at Churchill Downs. You can learn more about each day and see available ticket options by visiting churchilldowns.com.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. Head out back to the phones. Mike in New York, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to say I've been I'm kind of siding with James there a little bit. I know he's had some trouble with his best bets, and I had forever Young and Sierra Leone in the future book, so that was a tough beat. But I just wanted to say I know for Charles it's hard. I mean, that's some hitting that Derby Oaks double, because that is a tough thing to do. I know years ago I had Serengeti Empress Nice, and I still didn't end up having Country House, I believe it was, in the second half. So they're tough to hit. I will say one thing, though, before I caught rumblings from this on I listened to some stuff shows from Vegas, Las Vegas, and I did hear about this about an hour or two after the race. And HR Horse Racing Nation actually had it too. It said at the Circa Sportsbooks, the bettors decided it was 40-1 Mystic Dan. And I guess it said the bettors then decided in the last 2 hours until post that Mystic Dan was the horse. They bet him in the last hour like they had already seen Sunday's newspapers, dropping him from 40-13.
Yeah, I think that's false.
Is that false?
Yeah, no odds moved like that with all that money in the pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
With like 1 minute to post, there was no horse higher than 46-1. I mean, there might have been one that drifted up to 47 or 48, but it was a real flat board at the top. And Mystic Dan was hovering around 20-1 for a long time.
Are those the sports books or just the actual track?
Well, but the books are they're not booking action on the Derby. That's long gone. They're all the action at any of the race and sports books in Vegas or anywhere else in this country are going directly into the Churchill pool.
Oh, they are. Okay. So that is a false report. Okay, thanks for that. Yeah, thanks, because I thought I had heard something earlier for that, but yeah, I thought that seemed a little weird. But that's what they said. And HRN's usually pretty good, so I didn't know, but. But, yeah, once again, you know, good kudos to Charles. That's tough hitting that Derby Oaks double, and good luck for him. Thank you.
I appreciate the call, Mike. And, boy, that's a tough beat. You have Sierra Leone and Forever Young in the future wagers. You know, you're thinking if they can run straight, there's a very good chance that one of those two ends up winning the race. But, you know, if ifs and buts and whatever were whatever – you know, that's not the way it works. And and
they
Mystic
both had a big chance. I mean, no doubt
they
about
both
it.
Had a big they chance, and
they rolled off the turn. I thought Sierra Leone was the winner in upper stretch, and you know, I got to yelling for him in deep stretch because he, all of a sudden, he was closing it, looked like, and then all of a sudden, Mystic Dam was up like two or three lengths, and it was like, uh-oh, you better get there. And they made it close, but, yeah. Well, got to give credit to the winner.
I don't know how many people at the Circa in Las Vegas actually bet Mystic Dam, but our next caller, I'm fairly certain, did need Mystic Dam. I don't know if he bet him to win, because he might have been alive a lot in the Oaks Derby double. He didn't have to bet him to win. But we are all very happy to hear from Charles in Mississippi on this week after both Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby Day. Let me be the first from HRRN, Charles, to officially congratulate you on calling your shot. I don't know how much you made on it, but I am glad that you were right, my friend.
Thank you, Bobby. And I've got a Gary in Hot Springs. I heard your bet, and I'll take care of you the opening day, whatever day you want to meet me over there, buddy. I'll do whatever you want. If you want to go to the Leduthas, we can go there, buddy. But I'll get you square. Yeah, the biggest score of my life, Bobby. Biggest score of my life.
Let me just say real quick, Charles, kudos for me as well. You've been calling it for weeks, and you were spot on. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you, James. But listen, I'm not gloating and I'm not going to get into any comments about anybody's personal handicapping, because one thing about when I handicap or I look at something, I don't have any emotion in it. But my emotion comes when I see my horse cross the finish line and they say official, and I go up the window and the lady says, "Sir, you're going to have to produce your driver's license." And then I know that I handicapped good. But a couple of things a lot of people don't understand is that I was just fortunate on February the 3rd to be at Oakland Park and saw the Southwest. And for weeks afterward, they all said that Mystic Dan rode a golden rail, which was not the truth at all. Skelly ran that day. That Band of Gold ran that day, and Band of Gold finished on the outside. Skelly ran in the middle. There wasn't no golden rail. The other thing is, if one horses that win the Kentucky Derby is horses that can make that one move on the turn, like Two Fields did last year. You know, he got caught, but he made the move. He had the ability to make the move. So when you look for a horse to bet, I can't tell guys what I see in a horse or what I like in a horse or what I'm doing, but I just knew those were my two horses in late February. And I wasn't going to change my mind. And I'll be 1,000% honest with you. I still got my tickets in there. I had a $200 flip-flop exacta with Mystic and Forever Young. I thought Forever Young was the only horse in there that could beat him. Because I've watched that Sierra Leone, and I can't say he's not a great horse, a good horse and all that, but you just can't run like that and win. You know, I want a horse that can run straight, and that's all. That's all. And
the lack of an inquiry actually possibly cost you more money.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I had, I'll show you the ticket. We meet at I'll keep them. I got my Mandaloon ticket still in my drawer in there, Bobby.
You mean lack of a disqualification, right, Bobby?
That's what I'm saying. The lack of there was no inquiry and no disqualification.
Right, but I mean, if they had put up the inquiry, I mean, it could have gone either way, right?
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, but look, when they posted 1-2, but people don't realize this. Bobby, I owe you a big thank you. The only ticket I got on Sierra Leone is a $1 Superfecta box, and only because I took the five horses you had in your calling all three-year-olds, I gave two other people those numbers, and they all hit an $8,000 Superfecta box. That's it. I said, hell, I'm gonna see what Bobby knows, and so I thank you for that, because I wouldn't have had a nickel on Sierra layout, and $1 Superfecta ticket paid 8 dimes, Bobby. So I owe you a meal too.
All right. Well, I'll take the double. I'll take the double pork chop at 501 Prime. That's what I'm looking for.
There you go, buddy. You can. you can't, like I said, I'm not gloating, but it was almost like it was make believe for me. And you talk about Asmussen's horse in the last race. His horse, Gunpilot, I mean, he runs that 98 at 6 furlongs. He's coming like a freight train. I mean, one thing about Asmussen, buddy, he can get them. He can get them, baby. He's tough. He's tough. But I love you guys. I listen to all y'all's information. You know, I listen to other callers. That's what I love about the show. It just gives you an opportunity to listen to other people. And so you're not just listening to the same people all the time, Bobby.
All right, well, this is what we want to do, Charles. Listen, I don't know. I know you like to go to Oaklawn a lot. Do you ever get up to Keeneland? Would you ever go up there for a spring or a fall meet? Maybe we can all meet down there. We can all go out and have a few beers and have a good time.
I'd love to. Right, I'm retired now. If I can travel, I love the game, Bobby. I love the game, you know. And James, I love listening to you. You get a little agitated, but you know in your heart of hearts that Bobby's right about that call, buddy. But on Churchill's defense, other than that race and other than that incident, y'all put on a hell of a show, buddy.
Well, thank you, Charles. Hey, Charles, I love you, and congrats, and you're spot on, and I have the world of respect for you. And I'm quite certain you have no emotion when it comes to Oaklawn horses also.
And so. I can assure Vince, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this kind of new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated the proposition that all men are created equal. So even though I can't handicap, I do know the Gettysburg Address, okay?
Listen, Charles.
I love you guys.
In all seriousness, wait a minute. We want you to stay. We're super happy for you. We want you to stay healthy. We know you tried to get to the Breeders' Cup last year, couldn't do it. Is there any chance we can meet you at Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup this year? I know you got the money to pay for a trip.
I would try, Bobby. I would try. I would love to come. I would love to. I love California. You know, I'd love to come, baby.
All right, here's my deal to you. If you come out to California, and we do our Breeders' Cup countdown shows the mornings of those Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings, you can co-host one of the shows for part of one day with Jude and myself.
Hey, that would be fantastic. You know, I've never had trouble with words, Bobby.
No. You'd have a good time. I'd love to see you interviewing Bob Baffert. Right there, live on the set.
Oh yeah, I
would
too. Look, can I tell you something? And you know, people don't understand, but Brian Hernandez reminds me so much. It's probably my favorite jockey of all time was Patrick Valenzuela. He had an uncanny sense of when to send a horse. And you know, I know he had a lot of personal problems. I think he was the best jockey I've ever seen in my life.
I agree.
And
he was really good.
Yeah, Hernandez reminds me of that. You know, like Friday, he put Anna right on the lead. And that just reminds me of P-Val so much. But, look, love you guys, and I'm going to listen to the rest of the show, and thank you. And tell Gary in Hot Springs that I haven't forgotten I lost that bet.
Oh, believe me, he'll remember. No, don't worry about that. All right, Charles, thank you so much for calling in. Congrats, my friend, and nothing but the best going forward. Look forward to hearing from you. In the weeks to come. Thanks a lot. All right, James. Listen, couldn't happen to a nicer guy, and we love him here on the BrisNet.com call-in show. I know he's got a lot of fans, some listeners and other callers who have never had the chance to meet him. He's really easy to find if you can make your way to Oaklawn Park when they have live racing, because he doesn't miss a weekend there at Oaklawn Park. He loves it.
He was on Mystic Dan. I mean, Torpedo Anna was, you know, the third choice in the wagering eventually, but the early favorite. But Mystic Dan was hard to get to, you know, 18-1. He referenced, you know, he was on Gunpilot and Gun Party. Steve Asmussen had a huge day Saturday. He not only won those two races, but he had Cogburn. I mean, Cogburn's set for a huge year in the turf sprints. He's going to be aiming for that Breeders' Cup turf sprint at Del Mar.
By the way, and I don't know how much money Charles made, and it really doesn't matter to me, but for him to kind of just fluff to the side that he had a $200 exacta from Mystic Dan to Forever Young, and he just kind of says that in passing. That's, what is that, like $50,000 if that hits, something like that, and him to just make it sound like nothing. It was a good weekend for our friend Charles in Mississippi. And
absolutely.
Really, really happy for him. I hope he stays healthy. I hope we get to see him at Del Mar. I know he'd like to get out to Southern California for the Breeders' Cup, and he's got back-to-back ones at Del Mar coming up this year and next. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-HRRN. It's the Brisnet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Ma'am. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207 or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully, your chance to call in. Be part of the show, HRRN Nation. Number to get in is 888-966-4776. James, we haven't really had much time to look forward to what's coming up this weekend, but I know you're always handicapping, my friend. Where is your best bet this weekend?
I am going to go, gosh, I am stooping to a 4-1 shot, but I'm going to go La La Rose in the finale at Churchill Downs on Saturday. I think it's a 6-horse with Tyler Gaffleon. She's in there right against in the face of Kafefi's daughter and Mugen, a $1.2 million Steve Asmussen trained filly. But I like number 6, La La Rose. She got cut off entering the far turn in her debut and had to swing wide in the stretch. And I thought ran a really good second and will prove it second asking for Greg Foley.
All right, so number 6 in the 11th race, final race on the Saturday card at Churchill Downs, goes at 5:58 p.m. Eastern time. Number 6, La La Rose, 4-1 on the morning line, is James's best bet of the weekend. Let's head back out to the phones. Bobby in Lexington, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, Bobby. Thanks for taking my call. Haven't called in a while. First of all, Charles from Mississippi, congratulations. I didn't win any money on the weekend personally, but it's great to hear you had your best day or weekend ever. Brian Hernandez Jr., Bobby, you're right. That was one of the best rides in Derby history, in my opinion. He rode the perfect ride and needed every inch of it. James, Kenny McPeak, I'm with you. No Hall of Fame, but now it's looking very possible or likely. What I'm really calling is I'm going to go back to an old question that, you know, obviously it comes up every year around this time. Should the Derby and the Preakness have 3 weeks instead of two? And do you think it's actually going to happen? I just want to know what you think about that.
All right. Appreciate the call, Bobby. And, Brian Hernandez, I mean, you can't say enough of what he did both in the Oaks and the Derby. Just fantastic decision-making. He's obviously a very skilled rider and a super nice guy, as we've gotten to talk to him in the last few years on some of these Derby countdown shows presented by Hillandale at Alapa. James, I don't know what you think about this, but I think the Preakness is in a tough spot because no matter what they may want to do as far as the spacing, the Derby ain't moving, and it doesn't sound like the Belmont's moving. I know they moved to Saratoga for the next 2 years, but that's, you know, that's not moving the date. The Belmont is very happy to be 5 weeks behind the Derby on the schedule, and it fits perfectly to avoid running on top of, like, the Haskell and the Jim Dandy and the Travers going on later in the year. I don't think the Preakness could want other things to happen, but the fact of the matter is they can do what they want, but the other two aren't going to change.
Yeah, I think that the whole argument for moving the Preakness, whether it goes to 3 weeks after a Derby or four or any time period, is just like to get a better field in the Preakness. But you're right. I mean, to me, there's two facets. I mean, number one is business. They don't want to risk like moving a couple weeks away from their date. And, I think part of the fact that like Pimlico every year does $100 million handle on their Preakness Day card is the proximity of the Derby. And then Belmont's the same way. It's going to be $100 million if there's not a Triple Crown on the line. It's going to be like $150 million if there is. So those dates work from a business sense, and especially in New York, with these stake races coming up at the end of June, early July, right before Saratoga. Belmont has a big couple big weekends where they run a bunch of like their better stakes, you know, for the summer meet at that after Belmont. And there's just more competition. I mean, right now in late May and into early June, there's not much competition nationally on the racing landscape. And you start saying stretch out the dates for the Preakness and just the three-year-olds, and I think it affects all the other races and the business of the situation, which is benefits both the Maryland Jockey Club. In my mind, I mean, they could maybe move it 3 weeks and it would still do well. But right now with the 2 weeks, it benefits their handle and it does the same for NARA.
Interesting. Obviously NARA wouldn't like it if the Preakness somehow moved to after the Belmont and they became the third leg of the Triple Crown and Belmont no longer is a chance at getting a horse crowned the Triple Crown winner. It just becomes the second leg. But I don't think they're going to do anything about it. And I think the Preakness is just in a bad shape, is just in a bad way with, they may want these. Listen, that's a company that we've seen it over the last few months. They make threats of doing something, and it doesn't seem to scare anybody as far as what's going on. So it's a.
So what's the deal with Catching Freedom? Is he in the mix now for the Preakness?
Well, according to the article in the Racing Form today, he was one of the 10 possibles listed, which would make three from the Derby that would run back in the Preakness.
Yeah, with
Catching
Just Steel and the winner.
Just Steel and Mystic Dan.
And I can see where the owners would be upset a little bit that he's had this trouble. I mean, you know, there was the horse that acted up in the gate next to the Louisiana Derby, and he, like, supposedly, I didn't see it, but he nailed his head on the gate before they even sprung the latch, and then he got cut off. And once again in the Derby, you know, he had trouble right after the break, and he's way back at the very back of the field. So, you know, that is not where they want to be, and they certainly would hope to be closer, I think, in upcoming races.
That may be. Did he have more trouble than Forever Young, though?
Well,
I mean, I would say they were equal as far as trouble
listen,
goes.
If Sierra Leone runs straight and never touches Forever Young, he wins the race going away, right? I mean, you're conceding that he, like, just, like, because he's a big goofball and green and immature. Once again, I think speed horses overcome this stuff better. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that these horses have to be so lightly raced, regardless of run style, regardless of make or model. And, you know, to me, Sierra Leone could have used a couple more starts because he's just still too raw. And how many races does he have left in his career? I mean, he's going to target the Belmont. And we'll see after that. But, yeah, I mean, I think you could dissect that race multiple ways.
All right, let's get one more call in before the break. Shane in North Carolina, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, Bobby and James, how's it going tonight?
Hey, Shane, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are. Sorry, I'm just tuning in. So just what a great Kentucky Derby, guys.
Oh, we haven't been talking about that at all.
I know. First time tonight, right? I mean, just what a wonderful race. And, I mean, Mystic Dan, Forever Young, Sierra Leone. I mean, those horses just put it all out there. And I had a big party at my house, big derby party. And James, I still got that mint julep waiting on you. We poured it out, but I got another one for you next year. Everybody left my house a bigger horse racing fan than when they walked in. And that's just because of the show that those horses put on. So I guess here's my question, and I did some digging on this. Over the last 15 years, Mage, Rick Strike, Country House, Always Dreaming, Nyquist, Orb, Super Saver, and Mind That Bird won the Derby and never won again. Does Mystic Dan join that crowd? What do you guys think?
Appreciate the call, Shane. All right, James, what do you think about that?
No, I'm inclined to think he's not going to join that crowd. Listen, I'm inclined to give Mystic Dan the benefit of the doubt with the Arkansas Derby. He could have regressed a little bit off that Southwest or just had too much trouble in that first turn and just ran a run-up third. But to me, his first five starts were all bad. He was too, like, he wouldn't settle. And once he got to the Southwest, he, like, improved significantly. And I think he's moving forward and in a better boat. I mean, obviously, Always Dreaming and Super Saver, I thought they were in good shape too, but they just ran poorly in the Preakness and were done after that. So, but, I mean, you know, to me, like, there's been double-digit shot Derby winners that have come back. Like, you know, it may have been a while, but I think Funny Side and Charismatic came right back to win the Preakness. And even, you know, horses like Mind That Bird at 50-1, I thought ran a good second in the Preakness. I think these horses hold their form in a short turnaround. I think Mystic Dan in the media future's best race chance to win a race is in the Preakness. And, you know, if he draws an inside post, that only helps his chances. So I think he's 100% going to run if he's physically not, doesn't have any issues. And, you know, he'd have a chance to win. I mean, obviously, Muth is the clear horse to beat. But after that, you know, he's got as good a chance as any potentially.
All right, let's take our final break. This is the BristNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
You're listening to the BristNet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BristNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BristNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BristNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at bristnet.com/APR. The bristnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit bristnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Bristnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Bristnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully. James, what's going on at Bristnet Twin Spires this week?
Well, at Bristnet.com, we have like tons of reports for Churchill Downs for the rest of the meet. We have got Kentucky Handicapper. We have past performances. Bruno with the Works has videos available, and along with data files and pedigree information, we have much, much more. So check out Bristnet.com at Twin Spires. Every Thursday, obviously, the race is going on now, but we will have it for the rest of the meet. We got a $2,500 Thursday leaderboard, and then we've got a money back promotion this weekend on select races. So you can go to the website, opt in, see what races are available if your horse runs second or third, and then we'll have a bunch of promotions next week for Preakness weekend.
Let's get back out to the phones. John in South Florida, welcome to the Bristnet.com call-in show.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Bobby, I agree with you 100% about the stewards at Churchill, because if you go back to that race you were talking about with Jason Service's horse being disqualified, in that race I bet on Omaha Beach, and he was the one that was – he got hurt the worst, I thought, and Tyler Gaffalon was the rider, never even claimed foul, and they never put up an inquiry. But what happened was,
wait a minute. Omaha Beach didn't run in the race, didn't he get hurt that week? You're thinking of
War of Will.
War of Will. It was War of Will. Yeah, because he came back and won the Preakness. But my point is this: the horse that finished second, Country House, was way on the outside with Flavian Pratt. He claims foul, and he had nothing to do with that incident. So if he doesn't claim foul, they would have left up that winner, Jason Service's horse. So to me, the stewards, it shows me a level of incompetence because of that, watching the race Saturday when you see the two horses bumping. Now, I'm not saying he should have been disqualified, but because the Japanese trainer said, well, it was race riding, they both were hitting each other in the lane. But if you looked at it, the Japanese horse initiated the contact. Now, I don't know if that's the reason not to disqualify Sierra Leone, but it was, it was race riding mostly going into the lane. So, you know, my opinion is this: every jurisdiction should have an ex rider as a steward, because they know what's going on in the race riding. I don't think there's a rider, an ex rider as a steward at Churchill. But to me, They know more about what's going on in a race, and I don't understand why the jurisdictions don't have good ex-riders as stewards. So that's my opinion.
I appreciate the call, John. Thank you so much. And one thing we can all agree on, though, James, is no matter whether you think there should have been an inquiry or not, or should have been a disqualification or not, we know a horse that didn't cause any problems, and that was the Winter Mystic Dan. He got a perfect trip, stayed away from everybody, and lasted. So no matter what, he is a deserving winner of Kentucky Derby 150. Let's get one more call in. Art in Oceanport, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hi, gentlemen. I got lucky. I hit the Oaks Derby double.
Nice.
And I also betted advance on the Preakness on Mystic Dan. What are the chances of him running?
They're good.
Well, appreciate the call, Art. Yeah. So, yeah. So, James, what do we know as of now? What's happened the last few days with the Derby winner?
Well, I mean, you know, Pete definitely said, hey, he's not 100% to run afterwards, but he did say, I want to see how he does. And he referenced his juvenile form last year, running on a short rest where he didn't run well. But I think he's a different horse. And he finally got back to the track a couple days ago. And, you know, he's back out there galloping with Robbie Alvarado. I think he's his exercise rider. You know, Brian Hernandez rides him in some works. But, I think all signs, and barring like a physical setback, he's 100% going to run in the Preakness because he's going to have a chance to go there and do well. And, you know, Kenny McPeak is not opposed to, you know, taking a chance. I mean, you know, his other option is to wait, you know, 5 weeks for the Belmont which is going to be at a mile and a quarter at Saratoga, but that completely changes it. I mean, if you wait for the Derby, the Belmont, you get a couple works and you're not in the exact same form. You know, Baffert and Lucas have 14 Preaknesses between them. They both say that the Preakness is the easiest leg to win. You do all this work getting them ready for the Derby. And after that, if they run well, they can hold their form for 2 weeks. The Belmont's a completely different subject.
All right, and I think the thing that worries a lot of people is that the reports the next day from the Mystic Dan camp were that he didn't eat all of his food the night after winning the Kentucky Derby, and he was pretty well spent, which makes a lot of sense. And
was definitely tired.
they were at best non-committal, but it sounds like he's headed the right direction. And similar to the change of heart that the Endlessly folks had after winning the Jeff Ruby, where we're definitely going to stay on the turf and go in the American turf to, we'll see how he does, and they end up running in the Kentucky Derby. I think that's what's going to happen with Mystic Dan. It sounds like they're going to have a decision made by the end of the weekend, and they need to because entries for the Preakness are taken on Monday. I have a question for you, James. We had a chance to speak with Todd Pletcher as part of our Derby countdown shows presented by Hillandale at Alapa last week. And obviously you were a guest on one of the shows and we enjoyed speaking with you as always. I asked Todd Pletcher about Mind Frame specifically and why, if there was ever a thought of running him in the Pack Day Mile. And he said something about, you know, maybe not throwing him into the deep end right away. And they have high hopes for the horse. And if he performs in the allowance race like they hope he does, they may try something quote unquote aggressive with him in his next start. And I said, does aggressive mean the Belmont Stakes, which is now at Saratoga at a mile and a quarter? And he didn't say yes, but he smiled. And being that Mind Frame is owned by a guy who loves winning the Belmont Stakes, Mike Rapoli, if I told you right now that Mind Frame was running in the Belmont, what price would you make him on Belmont Day? I'm not saying whether you think he'll win or not. What price?
Well,
do you think
is Sierra Leone in the field? I mean, that's
well,
a big,
I don't know.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I would say there's a chance.
No,
he's in the field.
I think he's running. I'll just answer it that way. I think Mind Frame is running in the Belmont Stakes next time out. It's not a mile and a half this year. It's a mile and a quarter. They're definitely going to take a chance. And if Protective, you know, runs second or third tomorrow in the Peter Pan, he's still a maiden, but he just ran third in the Wood. And I mean, heck, he's got a chance to run first, second, or third tomorrow. He'll be in the field, too.
Not tomorrow. So, Saturday.
Or Saturday, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Rapoli, that's the race he wants to win. You know, he wants to win the Belmont. So, yeah, I think they're, like, thinking Mind Frame is super-duper special, and they're 100% going to the Belmont.
All right, I'll just put it out there. Let's say that Muth or Mystic Dan wins the Preakness. they're certainly going to be two of the favorites in the Preakness. And if the winner, if the winner of the Preakness, if one of them runs in the Belmont, are they a shorter price than Mindframe is?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I think Mindframe's going to get a lot of play. Hard to, you know, he's got those resounding wins. It's a, we've got a lot of fun coming up in the next few weeks. And we had a lot of fun last weekend. It's been a great edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show. Our thanks to all the callers and listeners. And a special congratulations once again to Charles from Mississippi. Congrats. Good on you, my friend, for making that score. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thank you so much for calling in this evening. Tomorrow, another full day on the network, Betting with Bobby, 4 to 6 p.m. and the weekend stakes preview from 6 to 7 Eastern. Have a good night, everybody.